Well, the interactive portion of the show, let's take your phone calls, your questions, your stories, your miracle stories with Leanne Thomas as we talk about the spirit world and angels on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final hour with Leanne Thomas as we talk about angels. Why is it, Leanne, that during this season, it seems that these stories really pop up?
Well, I think it's just the nature of the holidays and family getting together, and then the idea of wrapping up a year, the idea of the new coming and the excitement for the new, along with like the reflection of the old. It all heightens everything. And a lot of people feel like around like October is when the veil is very thin, and it gets thin around the Day of the Dead as well. But around Christmas time, it becomes even thinner. And so we become more inspired by spirit because the veil between the worlds or the dimensions becomes a little thinner at this time. You know why it becomes thinner? Not only around the October time frame, but this time frame as well, is because our mind is so much on our loved ones, whether we're missing loved ones that are in heaven because the holidays remind us of that, or it's because we live far from loved ones, or it's just a memory kind of thing.
Do we connect with the angels, or do they connect with us?
It happens both ways. They're definitely always there for us, whether we know it or not. But we can do our part by interacting. We can create space in our time and our lives to leave room for our thoughts, for them to come in and for making the connection. Cards are a great way to do that. There's lots of angel and oracle cards that can support someone with continuing to make the connection to the angels. You know, George, every year I get a message right around the November time frame of what the energy for the coming year is going to be. And 2018 was the year of purging, letting go of things, cleaning out closets, detoxing off of sugar or caffeine or things like that, letting go of people in your lives. Lots of people got divorced in 2018, and we saw a lot of people leaving the earth. We had a lot of, people had a lot of deaths in their families or in their lives in some way. But the year for 2019 is going to be personal responsibility. So the angels have stepped forward, and they've given the message to me, and I'm sure to other people that connect genuinely to the angels, of this year, if people really take stock and take personal responsibility for their lives. And that's not about blame. It's not about putting on yourself the idea that you did something wrong if you have a disease or something's going wrong in your life. It's more about empowering yourself. Mm-hmm. Of what you can do to move forward. It's not hanging on to victimhood. It's about being proactive. And so it's going to be a very active year for all of us. They've also shown me that it's going to be a year where we're having, continuing to have, if you will, natural disasters. I don't think anybody out there probably is expecting for that not to happen, but we are going to see even more of it in 2019. But it doesn't mean that people's lives need to be bad or that they need to be scared that these things are going on. If we take responsibility for our own life and put our thoughts in proactive ways, we can really change the energy of what's going on, and we can even help one another, right? Like the fires that happened here in California and the floods that happened on the East Coast, when we step up to help one another, we begin to change the energy of the way things are, not only in our neighborhoods, but in our communities and then even in the world. And so personal responsibility could be, this year, 2019, could be very pivotal for the next several years on how the energy of the world goes.
What is the best way to connect with an angel?
The best way is to quiet the mind, and it doesn't need to be through meditation.
Or prayer.
It can be through prayer.
All right.
It could be through wishing. It can be through meditation. It could be through yoga. It could be through a walk in nature. So you have to find your own way to create the space. And the number one way or the thing to do is to begin talking first, letting out what it is that you need to say. But then you need to create that space to become a little more quiet. One of the things that I suggest that my students all do is that I suggest that they set up a sign or a signal to ask for something from our angelic guidance that will be like a signal, or obviously the sign that they're there with us and listening and supporting. But one of the things we have to do is drop our fear. They're going to put things in our path that aren't necessarily easy. You may need to take a class, or you might need to get healthier and work out. These things contribute to us living a better life and getting what we want and getting the support that we need. They can't do it for us, but they sure can guide us towards it. And I'm going to suggest, if people are really struggling with feeling like they're, that they really know that they have a connection, that they get themselves any kind of oracle or angel cards that are out there, because they really do show up for people that way. It doesn't have to be my deck. It can be any deck that somebody resonates with.
And sometimes when you try to reach the angelic realm, you don't get the answer. Why is that?
You know, I believe that we do, and we are getting the answers, but they might not be showing up in the way that you want. I often feel...
Well, an answer may be they ignore us. Maybe that's the answer.
Well, I've never seen that happen, but they could ignore if we're asking for something that could be harmful or not healthy or hurtful to someone else kind of thing. But sure, I suppose that that could happen too.
I mean, for example, a child is sick, dying in a hospital. What's the rationale for that in terms of angelic or godlike? I mean, why would that happen?
You know, that's a really hard one, too. And as a mom, and I was a school teacher for 20 years, that really tugs at my heart, especially anything with kids. But how are we to really know someone's soul path or what is valuable for the growth of their soul? On the surface, as a mom, if it was my child, all I would want would be for them to get well or for them to get better. But if I broaden my perspective and I think about things in such a way that maybe over lifetimes, and perhaps there's lessons that can be learned if I'm the mom from my path continuing forward after a loss like that, or knowing that that soul, my son's soul, if it was him, then that it would be going on and that there would be more adventures and more growth and evolution for his soul in another way. I know that we stay connected. And I do think it's really difficult and unnatural for us to lose a child. It does happen, and it's painful. So I would never tell a parent, like, well, just look at the lessons that you can learn from that. No, that's cold and heartless. But if we want to broaden our perspective and look at it from that standpoint, from God's standpoint, it isn't really an overall loss. It's a temporary loss.
Let's go to the phones for you. First time caller, Marty in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Long time listener, all the way back to the Art Bell days.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, no problem. Let me preface this by saying I'm not a deeply religious man, although lately it's changed a little bit.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So I was divorced in 2010. My ex-wife moved across the country with my son. And this happened about 4 years ago. My son developed a very serious case of scoliosis that was going to require some potentially life-threatening surgery. And I was doing everything I could to be there for him. And I had a GoFundMe page. My biggest concern was the financial aspects of having to take off a week from work, fly across country,
yes,
and, you know, so I could be with my son.
Yep, I get you.
He turned 13, and 7 days later had the first of two grueling surgeries. But this was a few weeks prior. I was driving a taxi at the time, and I was sitting at the taxi stand, and honestly, the only thing going through my mind was, how am I going to be able to get enough money to be able to put myself where I need to be for my son?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a car parked behind me. There was another cab in front of me. So the cab in front got a fare and drove off. I pulled up into the number one position. And as soon as I did, I noticed that the person that was sitting in the car behind me got out and walked up to my car. He asked me how much it would cost to take him to San Francisco. We negotiated a rate. He got in the car. So while we're driving, we started, you know, small talk, talking sports and this and that.
Sure.
And he mentioned that he was going to Virginia for the holidays. And I mentioned that I was hoping to be, back east at the same time. And he said, well, what takes you back there? And I explained the circumstances with my son, and that I had a GoFundMe site. So he asked for the particulars. I sent him a link to that. And we kind of chatted it up all the way down to the city. And I pulled up to the location that he wanted to get out at. And he handed me a stack of money. And I immediately started counting. And the money that he had told me he would give me for the trip was like the first four bills. And there was still a big stack of bills.
Jeez.
And so I counted through it. And so he gave me a $300 tip on a $200 drive.
Wow.
And I turned around to thank him. And I had let him off in this huge, like, park-like area that's always bustling with people. And when I looked over, number one, there was nobody in the park. But number two, he was just gone. So I'm driving, 2 hours back to Santa Rosa from San Francisco. And I'm noticing as I'm driving across the bridge, it's rush hour traffic. And there's traffic in front of me and there's traffic behind me. And I'm like in this little bubble. And I'm doing the speed limit. And I did the speed limit all the way back. And so I'm playing this whole scenario over in my mind over and over and over again. And the only thing that I could come up with is that this was either my guardian angel or my son's.
Or your son's.
Yeah.
Let's get your reaction to that, Leanne. Whose guardian angel was it?
Well, it's all of yours, right? And then there's loved ones involved here. I'm very much feeling loved ones involved here. This is the synchronicity that I was talking about. Like, there's really no such thing as a coincidence that you'd be there at that time for that person to meet up. And I bet you more than anything that man's soul was touched already before he even knew he was going to meet you, to have that cash on hand or to have that situation happen that he might have been totally oblivious to. Obviously, he didn't know he was going to meet you and have your situation. And I also feel very much that there's definitely, like, on your dad's side, I can't remember your name, sir, the caller.
His name is Marty.
Marty, I feel like there's a father figure for you in heaven on the other side, whether it's a grandfather or not, keeps showing me smoking, and he keeps showing me, like, a military connection. So I just want to say a little bit of that I also feel is very present or around supporting you through things.
How do we know, though, that the guy who disappeared wasn't an angel?
Right. Could have been like my mom's little leprechaun guy, right?
Yes.
Very much could have been. And it feels like there was also some kind of a dimensional or an energy thing happening with the whole, traffic moving and all of that kind of thing for Marty as well.
Thank you, Marty. Can a loved one take a different shape of a different person so you don't think it's them?
You mean our loved ones in heaven?
Yeah, I mean, so we know what our loved ones look like, but can they come back as somebody totally different, even though it's still them?
So our loved ones don't have the ability to come back and incarnate in flesh. They can show themselves as a ghostly figure, and they don't, unless they've stayed a ghost, they don't change their image or their look. Or at least I should say I haven't experienced that.
They may do that.
Yeah, it's possible. I just have never experienced a loved one doing that.
Let's go to Bill in Williamsburg, Virginia now. Hello, Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hey, I had an experience in the hospital with my mother in the ICU, and I was asked a question by a what I thought was a Mexican nurse sitting behind a beautiful wood desk in the hallway, just after I had seen my mother for the last time she had passed that night.
Oh.
And after I got the question was about a cat in her garage and whether I'd let the cat out. Well, my mother had was concerned about the cat in the garage because I had put her cat in the garage before she went in the hospital about a month before, and she and her cat had passed away in the garage that night, which was a horrible ordeal. It separated her because of her asthma, thinking maybe with the cat not sleeping with her, her breathing would be better. And so she had that tragic thing on her mind about her cat, and it was the first thing when I went into the hospital She had passed away three times the first day. Her heart stopped three times, and every time her heart stopped, I just kept telling her to blink her eyes if she's there, and as long as Jesus, come back as long as Jesus says it's okay. Well, she came back three times, once in the emergency room and then twice in the ICU, and lasted about a week, was there about a week and was able to talk to my brothers and talk to us all, and we were all more aware of her situation, but we thought she was supposed to be good enough to come home. And the night she was, that one night that she died, she told us before we left she was going to die that night. She knew it. And we just, you know, didn't believe her for sure. We didn't know how she would, you know, because the doctor thought she was going to be fine and come home. But anyway, so the question was the Mexican lady behind this beautiful wood desk just appeared out of the hallway. I don't even know. Now I think back, I mean, how would there be this beautiful desk in a hallway in the ICU?
Yeah, really.
Well, I went, and she said she wanted to know, did you let the black cat out of the garage or the cat out of the garage? I can't remember exactly, black cat or cat, but I said, yes, I did. And she said, well, that's what your mother wanted to know. And when I went back to ask about the Mexican nurse, I told the main nurse, I said, I wanted to thank you for taking care of my mother, and I wanted to thank the nurse that got the last question for my mother. And she looked at me real puzzled, and she,
oh, boy.
She said, she was like, she went around and asked everybody on the floor after that, and then she came back and she said, there is no Mexican person working in the ICU, and besides that, she said, I can guarantee you, Mr. and she said my last name is on the radio, but Mr. So that your mother did not have a last question left with anybody in the ICU. She could guarantee me that. So that was part of my mother's death. But I want to ask you, are you a Christian, or do you believe that you have to believe in Jesus in order to get to God, like Jesus said in the Bible?
Good question. Go ahead.
Me?
Yes, go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, and I do consider myself a Christian. I do was raised Catholic, and then in my middle school years, we became Lutheran. I continue to, when I pray, I call upon Jesus, and that's my way of connecting. I wouldn't be so bold as to say everyone has to believe what I do, though, but that's my personal belief.
Leanne, who was the nurse in the hallway sitting behind the wooden desk?
That
nobody says was there.
Yeah, that was definitely an angel. came incarnate to pass along a message. It was to cause him to think, and it was cause him to know that there was more going on for his mom, for him, and beyond this life that we live. What a beautiful gift to have, especially around such a tragic time.
If somebody was walking down the hallway when Bill was talking to this angelic being, would they see the being, or would they just see Bill standing there talking to himself?
No, they would see the being.
They would.
The angels are able to make themselves incarnate, so they can bring on flesh and show themselves just like we would be.
Mars, tell us about your website before we hit the break.
It's angelichope.com, A-N-G-E-L-I-C, hope.com.
Can people email you through the website?
Yep, they can contact me through the website. They can go to my Leanne Thomas Medium Facebook page. I do live there.
And the YouTube, how do they find you on YouTube?
Leanne Thomas on YouTube.
Just that simple.
Yep.
All right, very good. Stay with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls. Fast night here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, by the way, to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We send out information all the time there, and you're going to enjoy it. And we're going to be back in a moment to take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. So those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get you when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Leanne Thomas. And again, those of you who are just popping into the program and relatively new to the show, we will be live for you on Christmas Eve and on Christmas night, as well as New Year's Eve and New Year's night as well. And we just sent notices to many, many, many of our affiliates. You might want to call your local station and make sure that they're not just running Christmas music, because we have notified them that we've got live shows, just so you don't lose out on the program. And, of course, if you do, you can become a Coast Insider and listen to it. Leanne, we'll take final phone calls here with you, but I wanted to thank you for spending part of your holiday with us tonight.
Oh, it's a huge honor for me. Thank you for having me.
Do you get a lot of response after the shows?
You know, I do, and it was amazing to me about how much love I was sent and how much people appreciated the information and all of that. You know, like, I felt like I gave some controversial information last time, so I was just floored at the amount of love that came through, which I thought was really special.
So you mean the devil didn't email you?
No.
Good.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
To the phones now we go. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you, and coast to coast, I think the true angels are you, George Nuri, the guest host, and above all, the audience, for creating the miracle of coast to coast 7 nights a week. And thank you for broadcasting on Christmas night and New Year's Eve.
My pleasure. My promise I made, you know that, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And Leanne, thank you for your inspiration. My question, in the 19th century, the Theosophical Society, the secret teachings of the secret Theosophical Society talked about archangel portals, mm-hmm. places where, well, angels appear to everybody at any time in every place. But there are portals, for example, in the Theosophical teachings of the 19th century, they talked about Lake Louise in Western Canada being the portal of Archangel Michael of the First Ray, or Mount Shasta being the portal of Archangel Gabriel of the Fourth Ray, or St. Louis, East St. Louis, being the portal of Archangel Chamuel of the Third Ray, and of course Archangel Raphael of the Fifth Ray allegedly had a portal over Fatima in Portugal. And it's interesting to me, even though this was revealed in Theosophical teachings in the 19th century, that in the 20th and 21st century, each of these places has been, well, has had a predominance of angelic experiences. I mean, even St. Louis, East St. Louis, built the Gateway Arch. And
I've been out to St. Louis and been asked to come there to do audience events and teach classes, and I love St. Louis.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I was curious if you would speak about archangel portals.
I would love to. You know, they have the portals. So here's really what's going on, is that the different archangels have kind of like, say, subdivided themselves at different times when the world needed it to be that way, to take on the energy of a certain place, to shift it or change it, to keep balance on the earth. So, like, you've heard of pole shifting and other kinds of things.
Sure.
They were supportive of those processes and the earth staying together so that we had balance on the earth. We're at a time where it's a little different. They don't need to use the portals as, you know, that as if it were. They can come and go as they need to because the energy is built up around it, and that our earth is changed and we are all evolving and changing with it. The earth is a sentient being, meaning that Gaia, Earth, Mother Earth, pick your term that you want with that, is an alive being, and that the archangels work with other beings as well to help keep the earth in balance. And there was a time when they took areas to help support it. There were even times when other realms besides the archangels came, and I've spoken of this before, but the seraphim look to me like dragons, and they're not dragons, you know, of what we would think of as dragons, you know, in cartoons or things like that. But they, the look of them, the energy of them, the way that they present themselves looks that way. And they also have supported that the energy of the earth itself, we are transitioning. So it's interesting that you bring this up in this conversation about how the earth is a little bit shifting and changing, and that the portals aren't necessary at this time. The archangels can move around and come and go from different areas, and they shift around for each other now, but that the idea that we're continuing to evolve and that they're shifting is a powerful message to think about now, because at that time it was necessary, but this time it's at this time in our Earth's history, it's a little different.
Some of the stories that I bet you've heard too, Leanne, like we've heard on the air tonight, are kind of emotional, aren't they?
They are, because our human experience, we've been taught to be so analytical, so scientifically matter-minded, and that's not a bad thing. But when we match it with the emotional side or the intuitive side or the creative side, then we're becoming more expansive as human beings, and that's what you're feeling with the emotional stories, is the expansiveness that human beings can have.
Let's go to Deborah in Illinois. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. How are you tonight, Mr.
Okay,
Norris?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Leanne, I've got a question to ask you. I had an experience. I've had many experiences with angels, family members and stuff. I pray and meditate on a daily basis, and I definitely know they're there. Yes. But I had one in 91, 92, I think it was, and I woke up on myself. I had an early morning shift, and I didn't want to sleep real sound. But I woke up to this being. It was about 12 foot tall, and it was in bluish-white electricity in the out shape of a gingerbread man. But he was about 12 foot tall.
Okay.
Nothing inside of it, but I felt it was a male presence. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm dreaming, and this is really a lucid dream. And he said, no, Deborah, I'm here. Anyway, he proceeded to tell me something, and what I'm wanting to ask is, what was that? Oh, I asked him this, too. I asked him, I said, who are you? And he says, I sit to the right of God. And I said, well, I thought Jesus sat to the right of God. And he says, many people sit to the right of God.
Right.
And I go, oh. Who or what was that?
That sounds like
shaped like a
gingerbread man. Thing throws me off a little bit, which is very interesting.
That sounds more like a dream. What do you think?
Well, you know what the powerful thing is about, like, our guides, but there are also beings called elders, and that's what I feel like you had an experience with while somewhat in a dreamish state. So, because when you can bring your mind to that state of meditation or whatever, or dream state, it's all very similar. And so I really feel that was probably an elder that your mind helped you to conjure or create a scenario that looked like, you know, a gingerbread man. I would suggest you go back in a very relaxed state. Like, a lot of times water helps people. So I wanted Debbie's to suggest to you to get into some water, bathtub, shower, and ask for that elder, ask specifically for an elder to step forward for you, and then you do it and tell, and then it's a safe thing to do. They're a little bit higher beings than just spirit guides.
The fact, though, and again, let's get back to the gingerbread person.
Yes.
Why does the mind create that?
You know, because we're not taught to step into the belief of this. Our mind needs to create something that's safe or comfortable. And that's really even why my grandmother was the person that helped me segue into the work that I'm doing now, from being very logical teacher, a master's degree. I have two master's degrees. So I needed to have a transition person. She's just having something safe that wouldn't scare her, because you know, elders or even angels, they don't really look like people. They are energy, and they can take on the form of something that feels comfortable to us. And that was just one of the things that she chose. Do you remember the TV show? Not TV show. It was a movie, Ghostbusters, and how that terrible demon showed up as like the Stay Puft marshmallow guy.
Yep.
It's the same kind of thing.
Let's go to Gregory in Burbank, California. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
I appreciate hearing your guests. That's why I like hearing what they hear. I wondered if Leanne can sense anything, whether it's her intuition or talk to a spirit of something good that's going to come up for me.
Do you do that, Leanne, or can you do that?
Do you mean like connect to an angel that has a message?
Well, I didn't know. I heard you say something about being a medium, or
yeah,
if you're able to.
Right. It takes some time to link in and connect. And would you like for me to pull you one of my angel cards?
How much time will that take? We've got a lot of people who want to talk.
Less than two.
Let's do less than two.
Yeah. Okay.
Go real fast.
All right. Well, you've got the healing card that comes up through love. So whatever's going on with love, you're transitioning with romance and love. You've got Archangel Raphael and Azrael. That's transformation, change. But they're showing me through the idea of love, not just self-love, but romantic love. So there you go.
All right. That's
good news.
45 seconds. That's all it took.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Greg. There you go. Let's go to Jim, truck driving in Virginia. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I had a question about spirit guides. I've been trying to communicate with them, and I haven't had any luck. But I've come across, throughout my entire life, when I have where I need immediate, like if something was emergency, get ready, crash or something, my spirit guides that I've noticed is always with my family members, but my family members are alive. So is it possible not to have spirit guides because they are alive? But that's usually been, you know, they're sleeping, but I can hear them. They actually call my name out, and it usually saves my life at that moment.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. You're connecting. You're discounting that. That's a big deal. Some people would love to hear their name being called, right? So I know that you're definitely getting connected to your guides. I wouldn't discount those things. We're often thinking, George, it's like, you remember that commercial back in the 70s when it said, Edgar, this is your stomach talking. And then, you know, we're thinking it's supposed to be like that, but really how spirit comes in, whether it's our loved ones or our angels or our guides, it's on the whisper of a hair. It's that thought that we're trying to push away. So it's acknowledging and accepting it, that the information that's coming to you, whether it's your name keeping you safe or other things, and it sounds like you're really putting an effort into it. I'm going to suggest a meditation that I have for download on my website. It's very cheap. I also have a free one on my website. Take a look. I know it helps people get connected. Everything's under $10 or free. So take a look at that series of meditations or for the free one on my website.
AngelicHope.com is the website. We've got that link for everybody at coasttocoastam.com. A couple of minutes left here, and then we're going to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Leanne. Again, what a fast year, hasn't it? Why do these years go by so fast?
You know, I really feel like that time is speeding up. I know that people have been saying that. Sounds a little cliche now even to say it, but it really is happening so that we're evolving. We're changing and we're evolving. Dolores Cannon said something that struck me.
God rest her soul, right?
God bless her. Like, I mean,
miss her.
The woman was amazing. So she said that we were going to be stepping into a new earth. And I feel like that the time speeding up, there's still a lot of time we have here on this particular earth to learn and grow. But I feel that's part of it. Like, she was right about the new earth coming. And if people don't know Dolores, I would check her out on YouTube or other places that she's available to learn about. Her books are amazing.
When you see 1111 all the time, what does that mean to you?
To me, 1111 means to be aware and stay awake. It means to pay attention to my thoughts, what I'm thinking about. I'm not a victim, that I have power in this world to create the future that I want. I believe that numbers come to us, whether they're 1111, you know, 911, whatever comes to you, it's personal. So everyone should check into the number system that works for them.
Leanne, I want to thank you once again for being on the program. Have a great Christmas. Let's talk to you again. Let's not let an entire year go by this time, all right?
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Leanne Thomas, her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, folks, but it is angelichope.com. Richard Serrett will be manning the seat for us tomorrow while I go off to a couple Christmas meetings for tomorrow, but I will be back live. We'll have live programs for you all weekend long with the Richard Serrett, George Knapp, and, of course, live programs for you again on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. I'll be here for you. For Dan Colanti, Marsh Ray, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Pinal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.